But we're really excited about the young guys with Jaden and Phil. Malik Davis, we know what he is. Izzy's a guy that, we really like coming out of Pitt. So I would say really most positions that don't have a established, like a no-brainer guy, we're creating competition. And we're also moving pieces around. Like you're going to see Kobe Durant, playing corner but playing nickel. You're going to see Caleb Downs playing safety, playing nickel. You're going to see, Marist moving around doing different things. So we want to create competition. Now's the time to do it because, again, we're getting through the installs for the first time. And then when we get into training camp, it heats up a little bit more.
Did you mention CD, by the way?
CD?
As part of that group?
Yeah. CD's not here today. Yeah, he had an excused absence. Hey, how you doing, buddy?
A quick Pickens question.
Yep.
Obviously, he's not been around. Next week, if he's here for the mini camp, do you anticipate limiting his work just because you don't know where he's been or what he's been doing exactly?
Yeah, we'll be smart. I have no questions. He's working, but what you don't want to do is put a guy in here that you don't know exactly where he's at, Todd, because we don't truly know how much running he's doing, and he's obviously a great athlete. But we'll be smart, but there's plenty of things he can do from the mocks to the walkthroughs and get him back into the system. But, again, if we're cautious, it's just because we want to be cautious. It's not because we don't think he's not working. We think he's putting in the work and preparing to have a hell of a year.
And then
they're fired up.
Fun club.
Yep, they're out there.
We've heard a lot of coaches talk about a second year jump for players. For you, what's a second year jump as you go into your year two as head coach?
It's obviously going to start with more wins. Getting the culture to continue to grow. Like I said, I think in one of the deals this year, the culture has been really fun to create because you got a lot of new faces, and we certainly weren't expecting as many changes on the defensive staff that we ended up making. But I'm excited about the culture. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to wins and losses. I feel much more comfortable in year two. I think I've got my hands around more of the things that I want to, and I've also been able to, really do a after action report on myself and making little tweaks throughout, and just much more comfortable.
What are some of those things you've gotten your hands around more, do you think?
Well, being more involved in the defense early on, that's a big one. Being more involved in special teams, being really the head coach and in charge of all three phases, and having a handle of that. I think, the personnel side of it has been good for me to dive back into the 3-4 world.
One,
and then
two,
shoot practice three. Schedules, meetings. I'm a big guy on don't rinse and repeat, and try to change things up. But we'll make some adjustments to some of the practice schedules we do for training camp and things like that. Some of our daily schedule and even the way we practice during the season. So all those things have come from me doing after action reports of myself, but also talking to some of my peers and asking them how they do it. Guys have been doing it for a number of years, and I've been fortunate to have some really good conversations with people.
John Machado with The Athletic. Tyler Guyton mentioned last week Tyron Smith being around a little bit. What do you think that's done, and what do you think of stuff like that?
Yeah, I love it. I remember when Tyron announced his retirement, talking to Tyler Guyton, and Tyler Guyton telling me, I didn't know this, but that was his idol. Wow. Tyler Guyton idolizes Tyron, and rightfully so. Incredible player, and but I think the thing about Tyron is the understanding of fundamentals and techniques, and what it takes to play offensive tackle at a high level. When you've got some young players like Tyler Guyton, Nate Thomas, Drew Shelton, why wouldn't you want a guy that's still in the area, still loves the Cowboys to come and be around? It's a win-win for us, and any chance Tyron gets to be here, we want him to be around.
And then obviously a lot of receivers on your roster right now.
Right.
What do you look for when you look at maybe that bottom of what's going to make the 53, like a fifth, sixth receiver?
Special teams, man. As you guys know, when you get through
special
those first
teams.
First three guys, 4 and 5 have to have special teams value. Be bragging about a couple guys now, but Ryan Florno, I really think, is taking the next step. I think he's got a chance to be a terrific receiver in this league, but he's showing up for us on special teams in a big way. MVS, Valdez-Scantling's doing an awesome job. He has to play special teams. He knows that. He hasn't done that a whole lot.
Right.
So we've talked to him about that. He's got the speed to be a gunner. But really, when you get through that first, you know, 40, low 40 number, you know, those last 10, 9, 8 roster spots, is going to come down to special teams. And, you know, I think that's a big, big part of it.
No doubt. No
Nick Harris, Four Star Telegram. What's been the biggest either change or thing you're trying to develop on the most on the offensive side of the ball coming out of those after action reports, and specifically here in the OTA minicamp setting? How are y'all trying to manifest that on the field?
Yeah, you know, in terms of the offense, the evolution, it's just basically look at what we did last year and build compliments off of it, Nick. You know, knowing that everyone that we play early, the Giants, the Commanders, you know, they're going to be studying the entire year. That's what we all do. And so, you know, how do we complement some of the things that we did really, really well? That's a big part of it. You know, you'll see a big emphasis on ball security for us. You know, again, I say it, I think, every time I'm up here, and it's because it disgusts me, minus nine. It's awful. And, you know, just, you know, we got to protect the football better on offense. We got to take it away on defense. But that's an area where we need to make a big jump. And, you know, so last year we really didn't spend a lot of time doing ball security circuits. So are you going to repeat history? No, you're going to do something about it. And so I think, you know, Clayton, Derek Foster, the offensive staff, L-Dub, they've done a great job of coming up with different ball security circuits where we're teaching guys not only how to protect the football, head, body, tail, you know, clasp it in traffic, but getting the ball on the outside arm, it's basic fundamentals, like where you see a
Remember
guy
when Tyron
carrying the ball on the outside arm,
talking to Tyler Geist
versus the inside arm. And when it's in the outside arm, it's nearer to the sideline, it's protected. If it's in the inside arm, it's more vulnerable. And so there's things like that that we're doing a deep dive into getting fixed.
In a couple of year two guys, Phil Moffa and Savone Rebel, have you seen the development of those two guys?
Yeah, Phil's right there in the thick of the battle to work behind Javonte Williams along with Jaden. Both those guys are very good players, both young. I think Phil's body, when you see him out there, he looks great. He's done a really good job of just, you know, getting his body where it needs to be going into year two. Last year he had the shoulders that he was, you know, a little bit limited with some of the training he could do. And for Vaughn, it's really been just kind of diving in with CP and Derek Ansley and the secondary guys and learning the techniques. And the biggest thing we're doing with Vaughn right now is trying to, you know, get him to where he's trusting his speed, his ability to make up, his ability to use his hands. And he can't just be a press corner. He's very good at press, but we're also going to ask him to do some other things in this system, and something that, you know, he really probably hasn't done before. So a lot of time on the grass and in the meeting rooms working on some of those skill sets. And then, you know, once we get going in pads, just we want to see Vaughn turn it loose.
Tommy Arsh, DallasCowboys.com. From when you guys got Joe Milton last year to this point and watching him play in the preseason and the regular season, where have you seen him progress the most?
I would probably say understanding our protections. You know, some of the things we do from a protectional standpoint is different than he did certainly in college, but even in New England, in terms of solving problems and some of our referred to as trouble series versus certain blitz looks and blitz pickups. And I think he's grown tremendously. And I think that's the main thing a quarterback needs to understand is protection, because if you don't know when you're protected or when you're not, that's a problem. And so, especially with the way the game's being played now with all the simulated pressures, and you see defenses doing a lot more. They're dropping known defensive linemen out. And so the number count or changing the math is real. But that's been one of the biggest things. The other thing I would say, because he's such a good athlete, that he's adapted to now is his training of the footwork.
Kobe Durant last year played a lot of outside. What does an ideal role for him look like in this defense? Do you want him out there? He can play the slot too, or are you mixing and matching? What would the ideal thing look for him?
Yeah, again, I think it's too early to say that. I mean, I've been, you know, studying the league a little bit, and for example, I've been watching some teams that have played the Rams, their early opponents that played them last year, and studying. And the one thing that Kobe shows up on is obviously incredible ball skills. You know, couple interceptions against Seattle that I remember, excellent tackler, but he's good at both, you know. And what I love about him is the command, the way he communicates is elite. And I think the guy's a damn good football player that we're really, really excited about to find whatever that role is. I think the versatility is what makes him so exciting.
Dave,
Babe Loughberg, Cowboys Radio Network, 105.3 The Fan. So, Brian, obviously you had Christian Parker in the room, played against him two times last year. I'm assuming you've sat down with him and have him give his views on how they attacked you and what he saw last year. How beneficial has that been for you, and anything enlightening about what he talked about in terms of how they approached your offense?
CP and I talk basically every day about different things, and usually when, you know, he and I are two of the later guys here, so when the day kind of unwinds and we're finishing up, I'll go and sit for, you know, sometimes 20, 30, 40 minutes, and we'll just talk about different things, how the day went, what were some of the changes maybe that they made after the practice film, if I don't get in there for the practice film, babe. And we've talked about all that. You know, we've talked about how they attacked us, how they played us, how Vic sees us. You know, I'm not going to tell you all the things that we've discussed.
Keep that to yourself.
You know, again, CP is way more than just he gets tagged with a moniker of Vic, but he's way more than just a Vic Fangio disciple, and he loves Vic, and Vic is, to me, is one of the best, if not the best, in the league right now. And but CP's knowledge of football in general is a great asset to our staff and our football team.
Brad
Sham, Cowboys Radio.
Brad Sham.
Talking about the turnover margin. Are you more concerned with improving
both.
The way are you more concerned with improving the way you protect the ball or improving the rate at which you took it away?
Well, if you're not going to let me say what I want to say, I'm going to start with, if you don't give it up, then you're not going to lose the turnover battle. Right. So if we don't turn the ball over, it's going to be zeros. Right. So I would say that. And again, I just, you know, we proved it last year, Brad, that, you know, we could go four straight games without a turnover. And there was too many multiple turnover games on offense. We were sloppy. We were careless with the ball. Mostly as ball carriers. A couple of them were on really third and long, like situation where we're checking the ball down, we're going to probably punt, and you know, we end up losing possession of the ball. So since you won't let me say what I want to say, I'm going to say securing the ball.
Okay. And following up on that, I don't know the statistic. I don't know if you had the fewest PBUs in the league last year, but if you didn't, you were pretty close. How much intrinsically does the new way you're going to be playing defense address that?
Yeah, well, I'll just say this, and it's OTAs, and you're limited with what you can do, but I'm thrilled about where our pass defense is right now. The flexibility, the versatility of flipping the clouds and changing that up and the disguise. Last year certainly wasn't good enough in the back half. It wasn't just coaches. It wasn't just players. It was all of us. And so, but where we stand today, four installs in going into five. If you look at this style of defense historically, they've always been in the top 10 or so, if not higher, in pass defense. And there's a reason for that.
Joe.
Joe White, Dallas Morning News. Jaden Blue was pretty candid at the end of last year about the learning curve to be a professional and how he wanted to improve that going into year two. Obviously, the offseason is a big kind of check marker for that as well. How did he kind of approach that, and what have you seen so far from him in terms of that?
I think he's doing great. Came back with a different look than, what he had his rookie year. I think, you know, most rookies have to figure it out. I thought, you know, he and I had a very candid conversation, Joe, at the exit interviews. And we just kind of put it all out there, you know, put all cards on the table. You know, he didn't like being inactive, and I was very honest with my opinion of why he wasn't active. And so we had some really great conversations, and he took that and ingested it, took it in, and he's come back with a great look on his face and a great work ethic, and intelligence is off the charts. I mean, the guy is football brilliant. He really is. And obviously, you see the speed and explosiveness. He's going to be a huge part of what we want to do, but he's got to continue to do his part, which he's doing great right now. So I would say night and day from where he was last year.
And then PJ Locke spent some time with Caleb Downs after practice. He said they've been doing that every single day. In terms of what you were hoping to get with PJ Locke, how much was the leadership, veteran kind of experience component a part of that?
Yeah, it was a big part of it. CP had him in Denver.
Had him.
Knew more about him than I did. I will say this, you know, I've shared with you guys, I've been taking, you know, 8, 9, 10 guys to dinner most Tuesdays. And one of the nights that we went, that PJ was there, listening to him talk to the rookies and explain his story and his journey, you know, from Pittsburgh to undrafted, all the different things that he had to deal with, to not thinking, shoot, am I ever going to make it in this league, and all those things.
Where we going then? We got to go grab some knees, shoddy.
The insight that he brings to this locker room is, I think, invaluable. And having the insight is one thing, but being willing to share it and talk. As much as I literally called Brian Wansley the next morning and said, hey, you need to have PJ Locke talk to the rookies. Because I think there was 3 or 4 rookies there that night. But I was like, they all need to hear his story and what he's about. And he's just a terrific young man.
Garrett put it all CBS Sports. Hey, Brian, you kind of dealt with different contract situations throughout your time with the Cowboys. CD missed a lot of the program in 24, Micah last year, and George this year. Kind of what have you learned about your role in helping players or interacting players like George's situation this year?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you know, Garrett, my job is to just be upfront and honest with these guys, and that's what we did with George. You know, we made it very clear to George we're not going to do an extension, and we're so thrilled about, you know, him being a part of this football team. And, you know, that's all I know to do. I just know to be upfront and honest. And, you know, if he's upset and frustrated and angry, I get that. Let's talk about it. But, like, all we can do is be upfront and honest with these guys. And I think they respect that. I think they like that. And, you know, it certainly is something I think that's important, because, you know, we need to have the close working relationship. It's business. It's nothing personal. You know, I'm thrilled when George comes walking through these doors, hopefully next week, and I expect to see him next week. But what he can do for this football team on the field is unmatched in a lot of regards. But I'm really excited to see the step he takes from a leadership and influence standpoint.
You've done a great job.
That's crazy stuff to say, something like that.
You went to Marvin Overshone's wedding. You went to Micah's bowling philanthropy last offseason. What's it been like trying to engage George outside of the facility in some of the ways you've already met?
No, it's been great. You know, GP and I, from the time he got here, we've had a great relationship and good communication. You know, this time of year is always fun because it's busy and guys got a lot of things going. I love getting out and about. Like, I had a ball at Demo's wedding. It was great to see some of our former players. Mozzie Smith was there. Jalen Brooks was there. It was great to see those guys. And, you know, what I told our players on Monday, we showed some highlights of the you know, videos. I think Clarence had posted most of them. So, you know, we showed some of those videos. And
you said Clarence posted most of them.
But I just told him, I said, hey, guys, look around this room, the team meeting room. These guys are in your life forever. You know what I mean?
Right.
So this is not a 2026 Dallas Cowboys. These guys are your brothers for life.
Cowboys.
DC for life, baby.
Quick follow-up on Pickens. Obviously, players want to be secured contractually long-term. So when you said to him, we're not going to extend you right now, what was his reaction?
I'm not going to share that with you guys. We had a real honest conversation, and it
Come
was
on.
Me, George,
he wasn't
and Jared.
Happy.
And, again, you know, we made it very clear how much we love him and what he's done for us here and what we expect he's going to do for us for a long time. And so I just remember him, you know, being – you know, appreciative of us being upfront and honest.
Real quick one. Is it fair to say that your scouts looked at Leofau a little differently than your previous two coordinators?
Yeah, I won't compare the two. I will say this. I think, you know, the minute that we got into a room with the defensive staff, with
how you
going
to talk about
Chidera
Pickens and then jump all the way
CP,
to Mears Leofau?
There was a lot of love for Maris. He's so disruptive with his length and his ability to set edges, and he's having a great camp. And
supposed to
know,
keep
I
it on the same subject matter.
We saw him. That's where this staff saw him. And so but he does give you flexibility as well. But it was pretty early on when we were having personnel discussions that decision was made.
Sorry, this is The Athletic. Brian, last year you mentioned that this time was a lot of setting aside time for getting to know guys, things like that. Sounds like you're doing the same this year. Just what have you learned from what you got out of that last year? How did it translate in the long term? And, you know, what are you kind of going about this year?
Yeah, I think my hope would be that these guys know I love them and I care about them, and my door is always open. I remember last year at different points throughout the the season. You know, there'd be a guy or two that would pop in and close the door, and we would sit down and we'd talk about things outside of football that were maybe messy in their worlds and they needed help with. And I was humbled and honored to that they trusted me enough to come and sit there. I'm always upfront and honest with those guys about, you know, my story, my journey, my scars. And I think that's what it gives you. It gives you the ability to have them trust you, love you, care about you. You love and care about them back. And then at the same time, you're able to have hard conversations and tell them things that they don't necessarily want to hear. But they know that you're a straight shooter. You're an honest, good person that has their best interest at heart.
Like you go to a lot of dinners. Have you got a routine in terms of, you know, what you're doing there, what you're getting, things like that?
And I try to change it up. I'm not going to tell you guys where we're going to go because Clarence will be there, Calvin probably too. But no, it's good.
Law gonna be there.
I really,
too.
You know, I don't eat a lot. I just stir up conversations. My wife will tell you this. I'm the first one when we go to dinner. I'm going to always be the one that asks a question and challenge the room about something. So it starts pretty quick when they sit down. But it's been great, and I think we've hit almost 35 to 40 guys so far, and I don't think I'm going to get all 91, but I'm doing my best.
Clarence, 1 minute.
1 minute.
Clarence!
You keep saying, I hope Pickens is there, and you said expect him. Have you had any conversation and assurances that
get him, Clarence,
he's going to be here, or just you're just hoping because or expecting because it's mandatory?
No, I mean, my conversation with George have been positive just about life in general, so I expect and hope he'll be here. I mean, hope and expect, same thing. I mean, I can't make anybody do something that they want to do. But yeah, no, he's not committed that to me. But I expect he'll be here.
Jalen Thompson injured. Did they have that before, or did it happen here?
Yeah, it happened here. Yeah, just minor pec strain.
Same thing with Hennessy.
Strange deal. Was hitting a sled and had some
shout
tightness.
Out to Hennessy.
After doing an evaluation, we felt like it was best to get ahead of it and deal with it now, so we could get him back as soon as possible.
That sled hit all him right. back.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Shout out to my guy, Clarence. All right. Yes, indeed, man. So that was the whole information on, dare I say, the presser. And my honest thoughts of all of this is clearly the Dallas Cowboys don't know what the hell to expect from George Pickens. Now, granted, now that we talked about this and we going into details of what's going on collectively, I can say that Schottenheimer is reaching and hoping is more hope than expecting that George Pickens will be here next week. Now, I did see someone in the chat. I forgot your name. I saw it earlier. I think it's Richard. He said, there is a plan, right? And the plan is to be long-term with Pickens. Let me tell y'all something. That can be the expectations or the plan or the hope. But the only thing that we can go off of is actually the tangible thing. And that is the money. We can talk about all of this and all of that, but the actions are going to always speak louder than the words. And the only way that we can get things moving and grooving, if you absolutely have the money. I can say all day that Seabass, I'm going to pay you $1,000, man, when I see you. But if I never get a chance to see you, I'm just talking, right? So we'll see how all of that will work and how all of that will go, Cowboys Nation. I can't wait. I can't wait to see how this will get things going. Shout out to Actual Factual, too, by the way. T-Jack, appreciate you, Newhouse. So we can get things going in the proper way. We're going to get right back to the conversation at hand. I got the cleaner people over here at the crib, and we're about to wrap up, and then we will go live, and we'll talk about all of this. But I really appreciate you guys so much. It's good that we know that Schottenheimer is going out to eat with these guys and picking their brain and seeing who's the leader, who's not the leader, what's going on, what's not going on. It's good to see those type of things. So, Yeah, Jay Lombardi says, better send that 1,000, Law, you know. boy, I can't wait. Let this season get going. I will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Just bear with me, man. I got this part moving here, this part moving there. You guys are helping me out tremendously on all of the things, man, that I'm doing. And I really appreciate you guys. I love y'all to the stars and back. We'll be right back after we get these people out the crib and everything, and we can talk about the Cowboys.